If psychology and pop culture had a baby, they'd call it the Shrink Tank Podcast. This is a special Star Wars edition of Shrink Tank. We're here in Regal Phillips Place in Charlotte. We've just seen Star Wars.
Yes, we did.
The night before the big release. Man, oh man, we are worked up. It is something else. So I'm Dave Verhagen along with Jonathan Hederle and Frank the Psych Weasel. And Frank, we're going to start with you in just a moment. But let me say that in the first segment, we're just going to have general impressions. We're not going to give away any spoilers, or at the most, a mild spoiler, just about an impression. But in the second segment, don't listen if you don't want spoilers.
Right.
Because we're going to give Jonathan's predictions that he made before the movie and how many of them came true.
Right.
And we'll give you warning. So
we'll give you fair warning.
Fair warning. Yeah. Then you're a loser if you
probably multiple fair warnings.
Yeah.
All right. So this was a phenomenal experience.
Phenomenal.
So Frank, I'm going to kick it to you first. What's your general impression? Just give me kind of the big picture.
That at this moment is the best Star Wars film, hands down.
And this coming from the guy that Star Wars has pretty much defined your life.
Yeah, and
not
and,
pretty much.
And it's kind of like it's jar. I feel shaken up. Yeah. Like real bad shaken up.
You're kind
shaken
of like
up.
Clammy and sweaty, and your eyes or pupils are dilated and.
Yeah,
this is different, Frank. I've never seen Frank like this.
Yeah, all worked up.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it is a game changer.
So God. It was on many levels a game changer, but it was let's just say from big picture, totally delivered.
Over delivered.
Yeah. Jonathan.
Really enjoyed it. Solid movie. Developed characters I care about, and I'm really interested to see where they take them, and I think that's one of the most important things, because I knew J.J. Abrams is a smart, intelligent director, so I knew the special effects was going to be fine. I knew the story was, but my biggest concern was, were they going to introduce new characters that I actually really cared about?
And you did care about it.
I did. I really was surprised how much I did, just right off the bat.
Right. And that was masterfully done, the way that they introduced characters, wove them into the Star Wars universe, and then made you really care about what was going on with those characters.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at Rey and then in the trailers, I'm thinking, oh, she's going to be sweet and nice and everything. But, like, I care very deeply about her. And even just a few minutes ago, Dr. Bolton came up and said, I want to change my character caricature. I want to be Rey. And I'm like, of course.
Of course. That makes
perfect sense.
And let's just say also, when you mentioned Dr. Bolton, that one of the things that made this night special for us was that our parent company, Southeast Psych, purchased the entire theater.
Yep.
So we had 200 and what? How many tickets?
274 tickets.
And it was people that we worked with, family members, friends
parole officers.
Of the business. So it was a truly a shared experience in the fullest sense.
And for me, just seeing my daughters get excited
each
moment, like I felt like a kid again through them, just
Absolutely.
Even watching them. It was like tingling and nerve-wracking.
Yeah, sitting there with Maddox, my son, and 10-year-old kid, and watching him watch this, and he just leans over and says, Daddy, this is amazing. I'm like, it broke my heart. Like, oh my God.
So Frank, you were worried, or not worried, you were predicting that you were going to get pretty emotional.
I did.
By having your kids with you watching this, experiencing them. What was that like for you?
Well, I mean, it was just, it's like such a special moment, not only with the kids and my wife and everybody I work with, but that there particular moments that just absolutely jerked at my heart. The whole relationships between people and how they change over time is just it's killing me right now.
You know, one thing I appreciate about J.J. Abrams, and I've seen this in the movies that he's made, but even especially like Super 8, is he gives the story breathing room for characters and dialogue, and it's not just one action piece right after another. I mean, he gives you time to breathe, and almost like calm down a bit, and then the next scene, and you just, he plays with your emotion and adrenaline. I really appreciate that.
Totally. Oh my gosh.
And at the same time, the action set pieces are as good as any in the entire series.
Yeah.
There's some sequences that are just phenomenal in terms of the suspense, the action, and woven in through there are characters that you really care about, characters that you really are engaged with. It was pretty phenomenal. Let's drill down a little bit, and anything specifically, without giving too much away in this segment, that really hit you, surprised you, again, not any spoilers, but anything that you were really struck by.
I mean, you know, I really am not familiar with either of the new leads. Daisy Ridley?
Ridley. Yeah.
Ridley and John Boyega, I believe. And they're both phenomenal. I mean, I really think that they didn't feel intimidated by the source material. They created characters, like three-dimensional characters.
I was also going into this film thinking, I am not going to give a darn about this guy, Poe. Like, I couldn't care less, and I thought his starfighter, which is black, it's a Lego set, everybody knows about it. I thought, this is going to be so stupid. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go buy that starfighter. Like, I so care about him that, like, he's a total stud.
Yeah. This was a, honestly, perfectly cast movie.
Yes.
From top to bottom.
Adam Driver. Oh, my God.
I mean, Adam Driver, everybody, this is not a spoiler to say that Adam Driver was the villain, Kylo Ren, and is as good a villain as
I've ever seen
in the series. And they did some things with this character that were absolutely phenomenal, and he delivered.
He delivered, and his ability to act under the mask and continue that portrayal without the mask is, I didn't think he'd pull it off. He nailed it.
Yeah, every single part in this was perfectly cast. They delivered, and Jonathan's already mentioned this, but the chemistry between people, you know, John
Boyega, so believable.
Daisy Ridley,
yeah.
John Boyega, and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I mean, all the permutations, oh, they all worked.
And Chewie. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was a lot of just natural humor. It didn't really feel forced. They didn't linger for a punchline. Like, it just happens like a lot of real life. You just keep moving on.
And can I tell you, the thing that was so impressive with this film is they actually captured, or J.J. captured, the, I don't know if they called the, not the silliness, but the lightheartedness of episode 4 and 5. That it wasn't forced, it was natural, and I was like, how did you do this?
Well, it was very faithful to the originals.
Yeah.
It was kind of homage without being homage.
It was very subtle.
And it was, you know, from a story standpoint, hit some of the same story points,
yep,
but yet were their own thing.
Yep.
And they were their own. It was its own unique story.
No, I agree. I think that it took some of the tropes of Star Wars, and just when you think it's going to kind of go that same route, it throws in just a little bit of a tweak to it.
Right.
And it kind of it subverts it in some way that you go, well, that was creative. It's not just a carbon copy, which I think in some ways the prequels suffered from really forcing the homage and nostalgia, and it didn't feel original.
And one thing that the prequels did not do well that this one did great, just like the originals, is the original movie, part of what made it succeed is that you felt like this was a real place.
Right.
You felt like it was a real lived-in place. The prequels felt like they were green screen.
Right.
And this felt like you were in a actual locale that had whatever the climate, whatever the natives of the planet were. You felt it,
and you saw it in just even some subtle ways. Like, it's not just CGI versus actual physical props and special effects, but there was dirt, there was grime,
yep,
there was blaster marks. I mean, even Kylo Ren's mask, it looks like in some ways it might have a dent or
it's been damaged here and there.
And, yeah, so,
and when he plops it down, and
yeah,
that, I mean, oh,
and you hear that sound. So just some of those is not just like you could see a physical. It was it had been battle-worn. This was a world that you weren't stepping in that they just created.
It felt as if, I mean, I can only imagine the conversations JJ had with everybody, but it was such a fully formed world with fully formed technology, even to the point of just the slightest subtle air tight seal on a stormtrooper's helmet, and how that later was elaborated upon. I mean, that, oh my gosh. I mean, dude's a fan.
Yeah. And he did everything right. He cast everything. It perfectly. It was a well-plotted story. There are people in the movie theater with us who didn't know the universe of the story very well, if at all, in some cases, and were able to follow the story.
Right, and we're saying how much they love the film.
And yet, at the same time, for people that are very emotionally invested in this whole world...
I don't know who that would be.
I don't either. It was very satisfying to them as well.
The one thing I will say is Episode 4 and Episode 5 especially, but the original trilogies, each time they had a new film come out, they had a new spaceship or a new weapon that was just super cool. That would be one thing that I would say that this movie didn't really add a new type of vehicle or weapon to the same degree that, like, when you had the AT-AT walkers and then you had the mini ones or the speeders on Return of the Jedi. This one, the best weapons, the best spaceships for the most part were the original ones, just slightly
it's just
modified.
Improved, except for, and we've seen this in the trailer, the one stormtrooper, and I really want to understand the evolution of that thing, that lightsaber could not cut down that weapon. Like that, I need to know about that.
Yeah.
That spinny sort of like electric baton or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was
I can't say
that.
That
would be a cheer trooper.
Pretty wild. Anything else just in terms of general impressions, other thoughts about it before we go into our next segment?
I guess the movie goes too fast. It was over before I knew it. And it leaves me longing in a way that Empire left me longing.
Yeah.
That the other films never did, but Empire, when that was over, I just felt a pit in my stomach, like, I really have to wait for this, and this one does exactly the same.
Yeah, and that's pretty unusual for a first film, and obviously this is not a first film, but usually a first film, it has usually a stronger resolution and endpoint, and this movie really, it has a great climax, it has a great ending shot, was so awesome.
Oh my gosh.
But it leaves you going like, what? You know, like, you want more, and then it cues to directed by J.J. Abrams.
And there was so much emotion in that final shot that I want to, like, where is that coming from? What is that story that I have to know, and I can't freaking know it?
You cannot. That is awesome. All right, we're going to take a break, and before we take the break, we're going to warn you once again that when we come back, we're going to have some spoilers ranging from moderate to severe.
Severe.
To death threats.
And so we don't want you to listen to this if you don't want to hear these spoilers.
Yeah, do not listen to this going forward if you don't want to know. Seriously. And even if you're tempted, don't do it, because you'll hate yourself and us.
Yeah. And we hate you too. So,
so park it. Maybe you pause it and then see the film and then later come back.
Yeah, later come back and listen.
Some conversation about it.
Right.
But if you don't want to hear about the movie in terms of plot points and details, don't listen. We're going to take a break. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast, and we'll be right back. Available now from Hero House Books, Mixed Shrinks, Ridiculous Real-Life Stories from Shrinks. Have you ever wanted to read funny stories from a bunch of shrinks? Well, neither have we, but somehow it made it into a book. And it's a great book, too. Shrinks share some of their funniest true-life stories, and we've got some doozies. It's Mixed Shrinks, available now at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. This is Dave Verhagen along with Jonathan Heatherly and Frank Gaskell, and this is our Star Wars podcast. And I will tell you right now, we're sitting in the lobby of the Regal Phillips Place Cinema in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we want to thank the management of Regal Phillips Place because they have done a fantastic job. They've gotten a set up. We got the whole theater to watch the movie. It was just really, really good folks to have done that for us. And this is probably one of the, maybe the best theater in Charlotte. So we're really thrilled to be connected here. This segment, we're going to talk about some plot points and some spoilers. And there are people that are not right beside us, but they are in line.
But they are in our lap.
Within pretty good eyesight. So we're going to talk in sotto voice a little bit. And we're going to talk about
my Thursday night erotic voice.
Hey, baby. So we're going to talk a little bit so that they cannot hear us. As far as we can tell, they cannot hear us from right here.
As far as we can tell, they're giving us those funny looks because of how we look, not what we're saying.
Right. So I'm going to start off with a mild spoiler. And what I'm going to say is one of the things that surprised me about the movie was how much Harrison Ford was in the movie.
Me too.
How much the movie was about him and how good he was. I thought he was really great. This is no big revelation, but this man has screen presence to burn.
Yeah.
So he is just the man. And it is a movie that, even though ultimately the movie is about Luke Skywalker in many ways, this is really a movie that centers around Han Solo in some really key ways. So with that, Jonathan has an envelope on our table. And it says Star Wars predictions
on
it.
Can I tell you?
And Zach is taking a picture of it right now to prove that the envelope is sealed.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I was just recalling the biggest spoiler.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get upset again.
I can tell. Like, you're sitting over there getting all like...
You're looking like Pippi Longstocking.
No, seriously. I'm replaying that. And... like, I'm starting to get upset. I gotta get under control.
It's like, you're,
pull it
it's like,
together.
It's like your first enema all
you
over again.
You gotta stop saying his name, man. Let's all just simmer down here for a minute.
Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. Jonathan?
Yes.
Why don't you... Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Why don't you read it?
Okay, these are from Jonathan.
And so I showed Frank this envelope before
that
the movie started. I wrote him at dinner, and my wife said, well, I don't care. Show me. So she saw all of them. And then afterwards, I told my daughters. I believe there's 4 predictions.
Okay. I've opened the envelope. And now I want to tell you that there are 4 predictions in the envelope.
Okay.
I'm going to read them, and then we're going to say whether they have come true or not.
All right.
In the movie, if you don't want to know,
stop listening right now.
Do not.
If you continue listening, it is your fault, not ours.
We've warned you like literally 4 times at this point, so do not listen.
Your life.
Right. Okay, prediction number 1. Kylo Ren is the son of Han Solo and General Leia.
Very good.
Nailed it.
Bazinga.
All right. That is a very strong prediction.
Yep.
And a huge plot point.
Yeah, good job.
Interesting thing about that is that they revealed that to be true
early on.
I thought, I didn't know that that was part, I made a point of not knowing anything about the movie before I saw it. But as I was watching it, I thought, when he's walking toward him, and then they make the whole like dad son thing, that would have been the reveal. They made the choice to reveal it early.
Which really increased the tension.
Way increased the tension.
And they had to do that so that Han and Leia could have their scenes together.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would have felt very convoluted for them to be together and not talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Because you'd have to talk about it.
Exactly.
Okay. Prediction number 2. Rey, who's the female lead, not Finn, who's the male lead, has the Force or potential for the Force.
Very good.
And so, and I thought...
Well done once again.
And I think that that was some mastery by J.J. Abrams in terms of the previews and trailers. The only good guy you see with a lightsaber is Finn.
Right.
And so, and yet, in the end, it's Rey who exhibits the power of the Force.
And strong she is with the Force.
And they played that up really humorous.
Yeah.
I really like the way that was revealed and how she, on her own, without mentoring, started to develop the Force.
I loved the moment between her and Kylo Ren and how she realize what she could do. And I was watching that scene, and seeing that scene, I'd like to know how long that scene was, but there were no cutaways. And there was so much communication between the two of them without a single word. I was in the middle of that scene, I kind of stepped back and went, God, they're acting the crap out of this. It was how to do that was unreal, just with their eyes.
It was a very well acted movie.
Whew.
Very well acted movie. And I'll make another comment here, that there was clearly an intentional move to cast an African-American male and a female as the heroes and the leads, but it didn't feel forced.
Nope.
It felt very right.
It did not feel gimmicky at all.
It didn't feel the least bit gimmicky.
It's like his nature is to care.
Right.
And I want to know his backstory, which is, I think, is going
to
be fascinating.
He alluded to it.
Yeah. But how he would just wants to care for her and would take her hand. And she's like, why do you keep taking my hand? I can take care of myself, which was just so great.
Yeah. Really nice. Okay. Prediction number three. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
This is the biggie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this is the spoiler of spoilers.
Okay. Do not. Seriously, if you've been listening,
right.
out, if you want to ruin your experience watching this movie, this is your fault. Seriously, this is your fault.
This is a cinematic vasectomy right now, if you go any further.
Turn it off.
Turn it off. Okay, here we go. Kylo Ren kills his father, Han Solo.
Oh my gosh. You're like a wizard.
Well, you know...
I think Jonathan had a little bit of insider trading on this, to be honest.
No, it was all through the trailers. I mean, my daughters will confirm that I've watched the trailers over and over. And one of the things that suddenly clicked was both Star Wars, the original series, and J.J. Abrams. They both are focused around father and son relationships.
Okay.
And so when it looked like he was going to use some of the same tropes, but not necessarily just kind of do a hollow sketch of them. Once I made that first prediction of the father-son relationship, in the original trilogy, it's saving versus killing, and I figured he was going to go the opposite way.
Maybe we should move on.
Frank's getting you're getting a little red in the face again, getting a little worked up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let's keep going.
There we go. And this is the final one. Kylo Ren is conflicted and not fully on the dark side.
Until just a little bit ago. I mean, you're going to kill your dad.
What would we say about that?
I mean, I completely agree. He's definitely conflicted. I mean, Snoke sensed it. But now that he has taken that final step, there's no return. You do not return from doing that.
Right. The scene, which was powerful.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It still was a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only way that scene could have gone down the right way.
Yeah. Hard to watch.
If it had gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been kind of hokey.
Yep.
It wouldn't have quite worked.
Yep.
And this was an absolute gut punch.
Yep.
So once that occurred, then it's a point of no return.
Mm-hmm. Another spoiler, now that we're well into it. J.J. Abrams really likes blowing up planets. I mean, that's like his signature move.
That
Let's
lens flares.
Blew a planet up.
You know, and
he
did get rid of the lens flares so he has to blow up a planet.
But he did them well. Like, they were lens flares, but they were so subtle that it felt very natural.
Yeah.
Versus taking up the whole screen.
Mm. One thing that's kind of cool, this is not really a big deal. We've hit you with the big stuff, but... speaking of J.J. Abrams, I love that he's very loyal to people.
Yeah.
And, for example, Greg Grunberg, who's in everything that J.J. Abrams has done.
And when he showed up, I'm like,
shows
what
up
the?
in in this movie.
No,
and
right.
And so did Ken Luing, or the guy, another Lost alum.
Yeah.
So I like
so
that.
Great.
It just it they're good actors. They added a little bit of fun.
Well, you know, one of the Star Wars troops is to actually have a fat X-Wing pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they had it.
Yeah. I mean, that was big.
That was so good.
I got to, and to that point, the special effects in this film were shocking. And the it felt like he was having fun with the battle scenes. I mean, he was doing all the stuff. And the gun camera angles, and just the way it was filmed, that, like, man, that he was having a blast setting those things up.
Yeah, and I alluded to this early on, but some of the action sequences, including when the Millennial Falcon was dodging at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
It was
wearing me out.
It was so great.
It was so great.
And among the better action sequences in the entire series.
It was a completely original action sequence.
Yeah, again, it's sort of, it calls back old stuff, but yet it also is its own thing.
And Rey's sort of mastery of the Falcon felt very similar to Luke's mastery of an X-Wing.
That,
you know, he'd never piloted an X-Wing, but he got in there and figured it out.
Yeah. Any last plot points or spoilers you want to comment on? Anything you think is worth mentioning?
Yeah, the one thing I was quite surprised in the end, and I think it might be an incomplete, we'll have to wait and see how it unfolds, but Captain Plasma, the shiny silver stormtrooper, I really thought she was going to be a major player in this film, and and she's not. She's really not used at all.
And she's a great actress. She's solid. She's in Game of Thrones as one of the cast members. And so it makes you think they're not going to cast someone that strong and then discard that character.
Right.
So that's going to be called back.
Yeah.
I think so.
I hope so.
Anything else?
I just thought she was awesome, even just the tiny little bit she was in it. But I'll tell you one other thing. Right after it was over, I thought, how much money did Mark Hamill make for maybe 30 seconds of acting?
Yeah.
I mean... right?
Let's not use the word acting now, shall we?
Standing.
Yeah. I mean, Vanna Whiting, you know?
Standing and tearing up. I need to know that stat.
But let's also say, whatever it was.
It was
whatever it was that they paid him.
Was
they
worth
got their money's
it.
Worth.
They got their money's worth.
The one last thing that I almost put as a prediction, but I had nothing from the trailers to substantiate it, so I didn't. But the movie actually confirms is I'm curious if Rey is somehow related to Kylo Ren.
They have to be,
because that sequence down in the is like Luke's on Dagobah.
Yeah,
and because we also know that twins run in that family as well.
Well, that was my prediction, is they're twins, but I don't... It's interesting they did not reference that, so it's going to be an interesting plot twist. And I'll also tell you, it was really subtle, guys. And you guys don't watch Star Wars Rebels, but J.J. Abrams introduced in the dream sequence, it was just a half a second, but there was a big character... was sort of a flat-rimmed hat, and he had semi-red eyes that had a lightsaber go through him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an Inquisitor. So we're going to see Inquisitors.
Very good. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back just for a couple of minutes with our final roundup, our final grades of the movie. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast, and we'll be right back. Available now from Hero House Books, Cinemanalysis by Craig Pullman and Josh Jensen. Cinemanalysis connects films to psychology through double features. These are movies paired because they share striking amounts of cinematic DNA, as if they were separated at birth. Each chapter describes a double feature, including why the movies can be appreciated more by viewing them together. Then psychological ideas are illustrated through the paired films. Pick up Cinemanalysis at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon.com. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. This is a special edition, our Star Wars edition. We're broadcasting live from Phillips Place in Charlotte. It's one of the best theaters in Charlotte. and we have been talking about Star Wars. We're right now just in the middle of this lobby with people going in the night before opening night. It's a special night here, and we've been talking about it. All of us, I think, liked it. Usually we have to sit on a movie a little bit to kind of come up with a final punchline, our final grade, but I'm going to put you on the spot and say, what's your final grade and why?
I would give it A to A minus, somewhere right in between. I do think outside of Kylo Ren, the First Order characters are kind of underdeveloped in this movie, but I think that that can be compensated when they complete the trilogy. But everything about the story, the characters, I think was, everything else was a home run.
Frank?
I give it an A plus for sure. And I will tell you, it was brief, and I don't remember who the guy was. I believe he was a general of the First Order. But he gave us, when he gave a speech to the troopers and just poured his heart into that speech, it was mind-blowing. I felt like I was seeing actual history being played out.
For me, it was a solid A. I think they did everything right. I think they cast it perfectly. I think the acting was right on the money. I think it was plotted beautifully. It had the ability to bring people in who are new along into the story, and also it was satisfying to people who were very attached to this. And more importantly, it did what a great movie does, which is you just had a thoroughly good movie experience. Mm-hmm. I knew that we were going to do this podcast after this, and I wasn't even thinking about reviewing talking about it. No. I just was immersed
in
it.
I was lost.
I wasn't doing... In some movies that are lesser movies, sometimes I'll just find
you
myself critiquing
and
kind of going ahead in my head and figuring out what I liked and didn't like. This movie, I was just in it.
Yeah.
And I think that is a testimony to how good it is and how strong a movie it is.
And I could seriously go right back in there and watch it again right now and be completely lost again.
I could too.
Yeah.
And
I,
you don't do that.
I never do that.
Yeah.
Will you see it again?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to see it again next week.
I already promised my daughters we would see it in IMAX 3D for their
sake. That's a good call right there.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been good conversation. It's been a really, really memorable night. And this has been...
This is one for the ages.
One for the ages,
I would say this will never happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't.
Maybe not.
Who's ever waited this long for a film?
Yeah. How come we didn't do this after a Transformers movie? I mean, come on.
Well, I did.
Yeah, this was well worth doing. We're really grateful for the Regal Phillips Place Cinemas folks for allowing us to.
And Nikki the
here.
Manager, what Nikki a rock star she is.
Yeah, we are. Gosh. We are loving Nikki the manager. So we are really grateful, really appreciative. And if you've been listening to the podcast, tell your friends about it. Make sure you let them know, of course, that there are spoilers, but if you want people to hear about it in our conversation, please let them know. This is Dave Verhagen along with Jonathan Hederle, Frank the Psych Weasel. Our audio engineer and audio wizard, who's right here with us, is Zach Brown. Thank you, Zach Brown. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Shrink Tank Talk. Also, you can look for us and like our Facebook page by just searching for Shrink Tank. And we'll be back next week with some other good stuff. We hope you'll tune in then. And may the Force be with you.